The following is a presentation of Four Star Sports Media. Germantown Village Wine and Liquor Studio. Germantown Village Wine and Liquor. They have single barrel whiskeys you can only find in their store. Go by and see Stephen Plunk and tell him Four Star sent you. Now, it's time to get to the point with your hosts, Wes Pruitt and Brandon Bumgarner.
Welcome back, Tiger fans, to the January 5th, 2022 edition of the Point Podcast. We got Brandon Bumgarner, Will Bass, Nathan Wilson. I am Wes Pruitt. Thank you to everybody watching right now and listening at 4star.live. Everybody currently watching on 4star Sports Media Facebook and YouTube, and also on the Point Podcast Facebook page. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you as always. We couldn't do it without you. Also, we could not do it without our sponsor, Germantown Village Wine and Liquor. Go by and see them, 7730 Poplar Avenue. Stephen Plunk will get you taken care of. They got some single barrel whiskeys you can only get in their store. And Stephen is an amazing guy. They're an incredible sponsor for us here on The Point. Fellas, it's a new year. It's 2022. Some big things are happening for Four Star Sports Media. Brandon and I will talk about that at the end of the show. But guys,
yes, we will.
When you look at Memphis sports in 2022, you've got to be excited. The Grizzlies right now are one of the hottest teams in basketball. I believe they went 12-4 in the month of December. Their head coach was Coach of the Month. I know Ja Morant got some awards during that time as well. Will, when you look at the city of Memphis, just getting the show started here, what are you excited about for 2022? Brandon, what about you, man?
Good talk, Will. I do think that there's a lot of special things going on in the city of Memphis right now. Not only do you have Tiger basketball going on right now, you have other things going around, such as the Grizzlies, news in and out of the Tiger football athletic department, with new coaching hires. And coming up in February will be Memphis Tiger baseball. Following that, you'll have 901 FC. Following that, you'll have the Memphis Redbirds. Then you get back into the swing of things with the Grizzlies playoffs, Penny recruiting again. Then it all leads back up to Tiger football and all that. Also have to give a special shout out to the Memphis Americans, the indoor soccer team playing down at the Lander Center in South Haven, Mississippi. That they've started their men's and women's teams have both started the season 2-0. And I know there's only four teams in the league, but they've beat half the league already. So congrats to them and good start with them. And hopefully we can establish some type of relationship with them to cover them a little bit. You're on mute.
I noticed that a good friend of ours, and I know a buddy of yours as well, Dustin Starr from Memphis Championship Wrestling, has been down there promoting them pretty hot and heavy. Man, when you look at that men's and women's indoor soccer team, that's a pretty cool little facility down there to have a game.
Yeah, absolutely. You also have people like Phil Glass, who's also a friend of the show. We'll be helping out with them. He's friends with Tim Van Horn and Jeff Brightwell on the Tiger Sports Network. Jeff Brightwell. It's just exciting, man. A lot of good things going on in this city. Things that I never imagined to be possible. And they're happening. This is a thriving city. I'm happy for this city. Will, you look great. Your Wi-Fi looks phenomenal right now. But
thank you.
No, I really do think that we are going to go into the next year, or this year, 2022, with a bang. Good things are happening so far. The Tigers got a win last night. The Grizzlies got a win last night. The Grizzlies are undefeated in the year 2022, knock on wood. But, you got a lot of things happening right now. So I'm looking forward to every single little thing, all the way from Memphis Tiger basketball, Memphis Redbirds baseball in this city.
Yeah, I mean, you got Memphis Redbirds baseball coming up. That's a hot commodity downtown Memphis every time they're there, for sure. Mm-hmm. Will Bass is back with his phenomenal Wi-Fi now. Will, what are you excited about 2022, man? Also, nice Grizzly cap.
Thanks, man. So this one's actually
– I'm excited for Will to take his Christmas tree down.
I'm not taking it down, man. Watching, I'm going to keep it up forever.
Right now, it says greet – what does it say? Grit meets wit, his shirt, for those of you listening.
Yes, that was from the escape room downtown. And I got this T-shirt for escaping. But, yeah, man, I'm excited about this spring. You know, you've obviously got the Tigers. If they can kind of get some consistency coming down the stretch, I think that would be good. That's going to help their chances in getting to the tournament, which is what every Tigers fan's pretty much hoping for right now. You know, watching the Grizzlies, I mean, I think they are at this point, if you started the season, you didn't expect this. So they're overachieving for what you thought they were going to do. And I know I heard you guys say earlier, they're 12-4 in December, which was, you know, phenomenal. Taylor Jenkins got coach of the month. So that was fantastic. You know, the Tigers have had their ups and downs. Hopefully they'll figure some stuff out. But then obviously too, like you guys said too, you got Redbirds coming up, which is always great. You know, I love going down to those games. My girls love them. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty to be excited about as a Memphis sports fan in general coming into 2022.
Nathan, what about you, man? When you look at Tiger sports, right now the Grizzlies are hot. Tiger basketball got a nice win last night against a pesky-ass Tulsa team. What are you looking forward to?
I'm actually looking forward to the Grizzlies making another playoff run, this time going past the first round. And I hope we can make a good run for the final for the Grizzlies. Tiger basketball looked good last night. Had a few mistakes here and there, but it looks like Penny's steadily trying to get the boys back to playing ball that they need to. I'm hoping to see a good NCAA run for them in the and hopefully they can come in as an underdog and be the one taking all these top seed teams out. Other than that, I mean, Tiger football, man, the coaching changes, the new hires, I mean, dude, it's crazy. But you know, you got to give Ryan Silverfield credit, dude, and on, you know, who the guys he's bringing in for his coaching staff. He's building a program, guys, and you know, don't be surprised if you see the Tigers Tigers go into the 2022 season hot, man.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And speaking of Tiger football, we'll get into that now. Of course, we know the Tigers got the win in Hawaii, just by being there and being able to be there, basically. And there's a whole conspiracy deal on Hawaii, and I don't get it. UCLA. I don't understand how you can accept a bowl bid knowing that you can't play in it. It's sickening to me. But anyway, the Tigers, as we know, lost Mike McIntyre. Now they get the guy from Ohio State. His name slips my mind. Last name is Barnes. Matt Barnes from Ohio
Matt
State.
Barnes.
Matt Barnes.
Yeah, is now the defensive coordinator. And then you bring – and then now we hear today that Kevin Johns –
he was a wing for the Grizzlies for a while.
Yeah, yeah, same guy, yeah. Him and Derek Fisher had some issues. But now you hear today that Kevin Johns will now be the offensive coordinator at Duke, which nice move for him. I'll just put it like that. But Brandon, when you look at offensive coordinator, I know who you're going to say before I even ask this question, but give me some guys who you honestly believe can step in and fill that role.
First things first, I know it's not going to happen. It's a pipe dream, but I would love to bring in Justin Fuente and be the offensive coordinator here. He knows Memphis unlike anybody else. I think he would help Ryan Silverfield. Unfortunately, I know for a fact that Justin Fuente's wife did not like it in the city of Memphis when he was here. But I respect the guy. I think he's a good guy that you could look at, even if it's only for a year. You know, doesn't even have to be a full year. He could build himself back up and get a bigger offensive coordinator job after a season. Another guy is his name's slipping. It's Andrew Sobart, something like that. He's the offensive coordinator at Kent State. They run a very high power, high paced offense. That I believe could be successful at the University of Memphis. And I'm not just going to say this name, and Wes, you kind of alluded to it already. I'm not just going to say this name because I think, I'm friends with him. I think he'd do a good job here. But who on earth knows this offense better than Brady White? There's nobody on this planet that knows this offense better than Brady White. It makes too much sense. And even if it's just as a quarterback coach, yeah, doctor of football, Brady White, even if it's only as a quarterback coach, I mean, it's worth at least trying to bring him in. Now, I do know Brady still wants to continue trying to pursue the NFL at some point. But, I mean, I think he would be willing to at least sit down with Coach Silverfield and talk to him about a position on the staff. He already spent this year as basically a liaison to the offense. He sat down with Seth Hennigan, sat down with those guys in the quarterback room, taught them everything they should know about the offense. Seems as if Seth picked up on it pretty well. But man, like, he's the greatest quarterback in Memphis football history. There's no mistake behind it. You can't argue it. The stats don't lie. The numbers don't lie. The wins don't lie. And I really think that he would be a perfect fit for the quarterback coach's job. If not, if they want to take a shot with him and give him the offensive coordinator job. I know there's a lot that goes into that, but the kid is – got a doctorate's degree. I'm pretty sure he can handle a lot more things than just coaching football.
Well, that's very true. And also, I mean, you just alluded to it, Seth Hennigan. Let's go back and think about it, guys. The maturation process that he went through this season, the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, the wins and losses, but the way he progressed in this offense and the way he grew up literally before our eyes tells me anyway that Brady White was in his ear teaching him the right way to not only play in this offense but play quarterback at a high level. Will, would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, you go out there and you're a young kid going out there running this offense. He threw for 3,300 yards this season and 25 TDs, and he was able to move around. You know, I mean, he can use his legs and get out there and, you know, move around and kind of confuse people too. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do next year or this year.
Yeah, he's a lot more mobile than people give him credit for. Nathan, I'll come to you next, man, when it comes to Tiger football. Of course, Mike McIntyre was here 2 years. If you look at the defense, the 2 years he was here, the light switch clicked at Navy. I don't know what it is, what it was about Navy for that defense, but they just clicked. Looking at the new guy coming in from Ohio State, of course, he's getting a chance to, you know, be a defensive coordinator at a program like Memphis, a winning program, a winning culture. Coming from a team like Ohio State, and we know what that winning culture is like, what do you see him bringing to Memphis?
I see him bringing the same mentality that Ohio State has on defense. Ohio State, I mean, he was with Ohio State the few years that Ohio State made the championship run and all that. But I see him bringing a powerful blitz defense in on this. I see, as you can look at Ohio State and look how they played this past season, their defense was very up-tempo, I guess you'd say. Very aggressive, and I think that's what he's going to bring to this Tiger defense. You're going to see – I know one thing that you probably won't see is a lot of missed tackles this season. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think it was a good pick for Ryan Sinfield to bring him in. But that's what I see. A lot of blitzing, cornerbacks, pressing up against wide receivers at the line. I mean, you're going to see a lot out of this defense in the coming years.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see four down linemen. I mean, I know we laugh at that, but if you look at, I mean, we got gashed this year, guys. Let's just call a spade a spade. There were some games that we were getting gashed in badly. Brandon, when you look at Coach Silverfield, this will now be his, what, fourth year as at helm going into next year. Third year at the helm. Looking at the moves that he's made in these in one coaching hire anyway, how important is this offensive coordinator hire for him in this program?
It dictates what the future of this program is going to be. That's for sure. Sorry, I'm watching the Memphis women's basketball game, and there was just a freak injury that just happened on the floor for Tulsa. Kind of drew my attention. But now, if you want to continue the momentum that you've had the last eight seasons, you have to hit a home run with this hire. You can't just hire someone who is just a name. You have to hire somebody who's going to come in here, get the job done, understands the demographic of Memphis, understands what you're getting out of kids that play here. I mean, also, I feel like any coach in the country, especially a young one that wants to prove themselves at the offensive coordinator position, would be stupid to turn down a job at Memphis right now. With the talent that you have behind the quarterback with Seth Hennigan and also Tevin Carter coming in, Grant Gunnell hasn't entered the transfer portal. I'm not saying that I know that he will, but I'm not saying it's not a possibility either. But you also have Grant Gunnell coming off of injury. The quarterback room is loaded, so you can do something with whatever you put out there, I'm pretty sure. Also, you have guys like Brandon Thomas, Rodriguez Clark. You got weapons all in the running back room as well. Now, we haven't really seen – we saw at the beginning of the year what this Memphis football team could do as far as a rushing attack. It just didn't click all year, you know. And that's something I know Silverfield holds himself by, is being able to run the ball. I mean, hell, the guy's an offensive line coach, so you know he's going to want to run the ball. But on the other hand, you have weapons on the outside. Yes, you're losing Calvin Austin and Sean Dykes, but you also have guys that have transferred in from junior college. You also have guys like Gabe Rogers coming back, Lewis. I mean, you got all kinds of guys out there on the outside that you can throw the ball, dink and dunk passes to, you know. Honestly, I want a guy that comes in that runs a smooth RPO and can translate what the play is going to be to the offensive line very quickly, because that was one of the big things that I saw this year. We had quite a few penalties for illegal man downfield, and I feel like it's because the offensive line didn't know whether we were going to throw the ball or run the ball, you know. And running that fast of a paced offense, it's hard because a lot of our linemen were very young. First-year starters, I mean, the only guy you really had on there on the line that was really got a ton of playing time up to this point was Dylan Parham, who is now a graduate and is going to be playing in the NFL here soon. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, you have weapons all over the place. You have running backs coming in like Sutton Smith, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago. It's really exciting to see. I don't know how somebody could say no to a offensive coordinator job at Memphis, especially looking at the last 8 years of success. And even if you're a guy that's not looking to move on quickly, you could come here and lay a foundation, and maybe one day it pops up and you're like, okay, cool. I've done what I wanted to do at Memphis. Now I can go take myself to a bigger, better opportunity.
Hey, yeah, look, if I can just add in, I know y'all talking about offense coordinators coming over and taking over, you know, which one. I'm going to throw this name out, and I'll get a lot of disagreement out of it, but it's fine. Garrett Riley, SMU offense coordinator.
That would be interesting. I think he'll go youth. Honestly, I piggyback off what Brandon said. I mean, if you look at how many coordinators Memphis has lost in this 8 year stretch, it's impressive that
Garrett Riley's now the offensive coordinator at TCU. He went with Sonny Dykes to TCU.
Dykes. I mean, the run that this Memphis team has gone on for this 8 years to lose as many assistant coaches as we have, it's been quite impressive. I would like to see them, and I know it's not going to be popular amongst Memphis fans, but I would like to see them get a guy who's not a, quote, Memphis guy. Somebody that's outside the box, very similar to the Ohio State hire that he just made. Get a guy that's outside the box, young, hungry, wants to come in and not only prove himself, but do it at a successful program. And if you look at Memphis offensively, why would you not want to come here? I mean, we're about as high octane as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
Will, I mean, you know, when you look at Tiger football, this year 6-6. I honestly think the win, 9-win type of season for this team. I think they're hungry. And I think after that Hawaii Bowl and how it went down, I think this Memphis football team's got a chip on their shoulder for next football season for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Once again, we are the point. We are brought to you by Germantown Village Wine and Liquors. Go by and see them. 7730 Poplar Avenue. Right there in beautiful Germantown, Tennessee, out there in Willie B's neck of the woods. Guys, Tiger basketball is up next on the docket. Brandon, I ask you this question, man. What happened last night? The beginning of the game, the Tigers got down early, then they fought back, and then they fought off a pretty daggum pesky Tulsa team last night to get the win by 3 at home. What happened last night, Brent?
They stink. They don't know how to play together, and Penny Hardaway doesn't know how to coach. That's the best way I can put it. That's the best way I can put it, and if I'm being completely honest. Now, listen to me. I'm very harsh on Penny because this is year 4. He's had two number one recruiting classes, and we have done absolutely shit with them. I mean, losing Alex Lomax, and I hate to say this because he's a Memphis kid, losing Alex Lomax was the best thing that could have happened to Penny Hardaway right now. Because the guy's been here, what, this is his fourth year. He's shown zero improvement since he stepped on the floor since he was a freshman. And I'm not going to harp on him because he's not playing now. But last night, not having Duren definitely had something. Duren and Imani definitely had something to do with it. Also losing DeAndre Williams at the eight-minute mark in the second half, or with 8 minutes left in the game in the second half, really sucked. But and I look, I'm not one who usually just throws something at refs. Those refs last night were absolutely atrocious. It wasn't fair to the kids on Tulsa or Memphis that were playing on the floor. And it absolutely wasn't fair to the fans having to sit there and watch that because it was whistle after whistle after whistle. I mean, the first three sequences in the game, they called a turnover on Memphis, and it's something we do all year. We walk down the floor, we dribble the ball, right? You dribble the ball? Oh, no, that's a travel. What are you talking about? That's a carry. Yeah. What are you talking about? Makes no sense. Penny – here's the deal with Penny. Penny has to trust himself. He can't trust others. You know what I mean? And last night, I watched the press conference after the game. People were talking about, oh, that was a weird press conference. It should have been weird. He should have been angry that we beat a shit Tulsa team by 3 points. You were up by 18. You blew it. I mean, this town, listen to me. This team, I don't care if you don't have Imani, DeAndre, or Jalen. This team has more talent on that team than almost any other team in the country, and you're not able to win with it, especially going to a place like Tulane and losing to them by a point, which should not have happened. Yes, I get they were coming off of a layover, and that's a good excuse. They didn't play for, what, 2 weeks up to that point. So it's tough, but – Penny has to learn how to trust himself before he trusts others. Also, he does that to a fault where I guess I'm kind of contradicting what I'm about to say, but he will – he's a – it's my way or the highway type guy, but also you have an absolute legend on your bench that I feel like he's finally starting to listen to in Larry Brown. You see Larry – and the huddles be more active after the game. You see him during the timeouts, come off the bench. He'll say something to the ref or he'll grab Penny and say something. It's good to finally see him getting involved a little bit. But, man, it's just so frustrating knowing how much talent we have on a team and you can barely beat one of the worst teams in your conference by 3 points on your home floor. I'm sorry, but Sunday – against Cincinnati, like if you do the same thing you did against Tulsa last night, there's a lot of T's, I'm sorry. If you do the same thing you did against Tulsa last night on Sunday against Cincinnati, then you're screwed because Cincinnati's going to come in there. Wes Miller is a hell of a basketball coach, and he will coach circles around this team if they don't straighten up or do adjustments.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. And I'm glad you mentioned that about Larry Brown because I was actually going to mention it. I really feel like Penny is starting to listen to him a little bit more, but it's how many games we played? 12 games. It's 12 games too late, or however many games it is. You should have been doing that in the offseason. You should have been doing that the second you hired him. The second you brought him into the building, you should have set him down and said, all right, tell me what I need to do. Teach me something. I mean, let's not forget, Penny is in his fourth year as a head coach of a college program for the first time ever. But I'm not. That's not an excuse to me. You've had the number one recruiting class 2 times in a row now, or 2 years out of the 4 you've been there. And you've got talent amongst talent amongst talent amongst talent on that basketball team. There's no reason you only beat Tulsa by 3. And if Cincinnati comes in and wipes the floor with them, Will, there's going to be some pissed off Tiger fans.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, at this point, outside of winning the conference championship, there's really not a chance in an at-large bid. I think in any of the statistics or any of the polls I've seen, you know, we're in the first four out no matter what you look at. So, you know, in 4 years of hearing, you know, Penny say, hey, we're going for a national championship. Hey, we're going for a national championship. You know, we may not even sniff the tournament. I mean, at this point, that's the goal, is making the tournament and hopefully making it past the first game.
Yeah. Well, Will, I don't mean to cut you off, but I was listening to Rob Doster's podcast the other night.
No, you're good.
With Jeff Goodman, and Jeff Goodman said, like verbatim, he goes, if this Memphis team doesn't make it to the second weekend of the tournament, then it is a drag and Penny Hardaway should be ashamed of himself. And I could not agree more. There's too much on this team for you to be wasting it. And honestly, it's a waste of time at this point. You can't waste our time, man. Like, I get you won the NIT last year. I get that you're getting these big recruits. But at some point, the fans get fed up, like me. Look, we all know I love Penny Hardaway. I think he can be one of the best coaches in the country. But you have to prove it to me right now. You're sitting at 8-5. You barely beat a, like I said, shitty Tulsa team on your home floor, and you got a decent. I mean, you back to back to back. You got UCF, or excuse me, Cincinnati, UCF, SMU, back to back to back on the schedule. It's not very good. Now I will say there's three promising notes. Sorry, Will, I did cut you off, and I'm gonna let you talk back. There was three promising notes from last night. Josh Minot was awesome. He needs to see the floor as many minutes as Penny can have him on the floor. The other person is Earl Timberlake. Earl Timberlake, the last three games, has looked like your point guard. He has looked like the guy that needs to be out there facilitating with the basketball, giving it to other guys. He's 6'7". He played 32 minutes last night. He was 5 of 6 from the field, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. You can't ask for much more out of a point guard, especially a point guard that's going to the rack rebounding for you. I mean, come on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I also saw a picture last night that less than 5 minutes after that game ended, Earl Timberlake was out there shooting free throws. I love that. That means the young man is a gym rat and he's got a passion to win. Go ahead, Will.
Maturity.
I saw the same thing. You know, I'm just – It bothers me that you go out there, you're at home, and you barely beat a Tulsa team that was pesky at the very, very least. I mean, they came out and they were shooting hot, so that's why they got out to the lead they did. But that's right after you went out and you beat a Wichita State team, which is a borderline quad one team, by almost 20 points. I mean, you won by 18, and you know, it's just. It's hard to really read into this team and what they're capable of a lot more than what they're showing. And you see glimpses of it, but it's so Jekyll and Hyde. It's hard to really get behind them. I mean, and I've seen that myself personally with fans that have been longtime fans. There's a lady that works with me who went to the game last night. And she's like, you know, did you watch the game? And I said, yeah, you know, I had to flip back and forth because it was just, you know, you're just – riddled with anxiety watching them come down the court and turn the ball over every time they have, you know, an offensive possession. And you know, then you give
unpredictable
up an 18-point lead. Yeah, I mean, you see the amount of talent this team has, and it's, you know, they're just, like you said a minute ago, Bum, I mean, they're just kind of wasting it. You've got all of this talent, and at some point there's a coach somewhere in this country that could use what we've been able to put together the last couple of years and could have made a long run. And it's nothing against Penny, because obviously, you know, he's relatively new to the college coaching game, but at the same time, you know, you've literally put a lot of talent out there on the court and really not been able to translate it into any out of just dysfunction. And it's disappointing in a lot of ways. And I know plenty of Tiger fans that see it the same way.
Oh, you're exactly right. Just off the top of my head, I can think of about 30 teams that would have loved to have had a quarter of the talent we've had the last 3-4 years. I mean,
if you gave a guy like if you gave Rick Pitino or Bruce Pearl, one of those coaches, the talent that we have on this team, do you know what they would have done? They would have already won a national championship. I'm sorry. I hate to say that. And I know Penny is still growing as a coach, as you said, Will.
Yeah.
But at some point, he has to mature as a coach just as much as these players have to mature as players.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I will sit here and tell you.
Exactly.
And I guess it was a limited – it was a limited rotation, so I will sit here and tell you last night, he only played 8 guys. I was fine with that. You play guys,
yeah.
You let that rotation roll out there like that, I'm happy. Now, the problem was we got down, was it 10-1 at one point? Then we stormed back, and we went on like an 18-2 run. And basketball is a game of runs, but also – it's disappointing to sit there and watch your team just sit there. And yeah, like I said, I've already blamed the refs, but I can't only blame them so much for our faults.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about that game too, I mean, Tulsa really dictated a lot of that game as far as how, so they played the defense they played, it was kind of a morphing zone, and they just had Memphis all discombobulated to begin with. But it was really low scoring. I mean, to see a game that low scoring with the pace that Memphis typically plays with, it's not really conducive to how we play in most instances.
And really, it's almost a little bit concerning that a team like a Tulsa can get us to play that slow-paced, not a lot of points, half-court set offense. Because, I mean, based on what I've seen, I haven't seen a lot of just great half-court sets out of the Memphis basketball team this year. Brandon, would you agree with that?
I agree. I think they're still trying to learn this offense because Penny implemented it so late. Now, the veterans pick up on it pretty quickly, but you have your younger guys like your Minots and Timberlake, first year in the system. Guys like that, still trying to learn it. I think they've caught up on it now. Now, your problem is Penny went from – he would switch from man to zone so much during that game. When we went zone, they couldn't do anything. Then we go back man. They'd go on a long run or – they'd catch us in a zone and they'd get an open shot and they'd hit it. Like Tulsa, the one thing I will say about them, even though their record doesn't show it, I do think they're still garbage, but they're a very well-coached team.
They're well-coached.
And they're also, they don't quit. And I'll give them a credit for that. I think Penny saw a recreation of that Houston game last year in his eyes when was it Giroux hit that half court shot last night? I know we were up 3, but I think he saw his life flash before his eyes when they put that 3 up from half court. They could have tied it and we could have gone into overtime. Minot had fouled out. I believe we had Minot and Dandridge were both out. Both of our big men were out, and then DeAndre was injured. So you going into an overtime period, you have zero bigs. Your biggest guy on your bench is Landers Nolly, the one that was available. And he's only, what, 6'7"? So, and he's not even a true big.
Eight players.
But
they would have had, yeah, they think they would have had 8 players available had they gone to OT, and that was no bigs.
Yeah, zero bigs. And then your 3 big men, 2 fouled out. Williams was injured. Then you're running out there with Timberlake, Quinones, Hardaway, Harris, and Nolly. Those are your only 5 left available after that. And then, of course, your walk-ons, but they're never going to see the floor. So,
but that 5, I mean, who would have thought that 5 would be the 5, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not me.
It's crazy. Not me for sure. When you look on the women's side of things for the – oh, go ahead.
Now, also, I am going to point out that Imani being injured and Jalen I feel like Penny kind of took this as a, hey, this is a bye game for us, so Jalen needs to sit out, let his hip rest. But it really wasn't. There's no bye games at this point in the season, dude. Like, you can't coach that way.
Yeah.
You got to go out there with your boys. You let them dominate. And if he's hurt, let him figure it out. Now, I never want to force a kid into something. So if Jalen was definitely hurt, like, pay no attention to me. But I do think that with the stretch of games that we have coming up, Penny was like, okay, maybe this is the game where I can get him to sit a little bit, get him a little bit healthier, then go out there. But there's no telling, guys. And I honestly, we're here week to week basis. I don't know what's going on with Memphis basketball. Next week, I could be sitting here singing Penny's praises and be like, oh my gosh, he's the best coach in NCAA. Or I could be here next week saying the same thing I'm saying right now. I know that Wichita State game, we know they could play like that. The whole country saw it. It was on CBS. The whole country's hopefully going to get to see it again on Sunday when we play Cincinnati on ABC. Should be fun. I'll be in the building. If you see me out there, say hello.
Definitely tell Big Bum hello. I'll be honest with you, he's not hard to find. He kind of demands attention when he walks into the room. And us shorter people, you can't even see us when we're walking behind him. But anyway, going over to the women's side of things. Now, the Lady Tigers sit at 9-2. They're currently down by 1 at halftime to the Tulsa Golden Hurricane, Lady Tulsa Golden Hurricanes, 36-35. Tulsa's 10-1. This Lady Tiger team, to be 9-2, that record just alone just makes me happy. This coaching staff, we've praised them every time we've talked about them. They're doing a good job with this Memphis team. They're sitting pretty right now at 9-2. I really expect this team to make a run for the NCAA tournament. What about you, Brennan?
I think they can. The problem is there's not really many at-large bids available in women's basketball. I know it's the exact same field as the men's, but the American's not really a respected conference when it comes to women's basketball, which is sad because there are some pretty decent teams, such as Tulsa, South Florida, Memphis right now. They're down 1 at halftime, as you said, to Tulsa. It's not – Elena Davis is leading scorer right now. She's got 10 points. And then – Tyler Fearson, Fireson. I'm sorry. I can't, if I butchered that name, but she's got 8. Look, Coach Merriweather's doing a fantastic job with these girls. They've been off for damn near a month. Every game they've supposed to play, the other team has had COVID issues. Thankfully we haven't had any ourselves that I know of. Everything's come out as the other teams having it, but yeah, I'm watching it right now. They look focused. This team looks like they're bought in well. And honestly, if you would have told me Coach Merriweather would have come in here and had a 9-2 record to start the season, potentially upset one of the teams, top teams in your conference, to start conference play, I probably would have laughed at you, man, because Melissa McFerrin couldn't get it done here. And it was just so bad for so long. And now I don't know how to act with Memphis women's basketball. They're winning games, you know? Yeah, their last game was December 30th, excuse me, against Nichols. So
yeah,
a week and a half ago. But yeah, no, I'm very pleased with the outcome that has been put with this women's team. They have a home game Saturday. I'm going to quick plug for them. Home game for the women Saturday. Free admission for everybody. They want they want Tiger Nation to pack Elmeron Fieldhouse. Game tips off at 1 p.m. They're playing 6-6 SMU. It's a rivalry game. I mean, it's SMU. Come on. We know that how they are with the rest of their athletics. But and that's not a shot at SMU. Sorry. But, yeah, come out to the field house. I'll be there Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. Come cheer these young women on. get introduced to Coach Merriweather and her staff, get accumulated with these girls that are on the floor. They're still a pretty young team, and it should be a lot of fun to just come out here and see them play well, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. Now, that place should be packed Saturday, Brendan. I would assume it would be. A good friend of ours, I know you know him as well. Yeah, I do too. I know Jake Brewer, a young man who I met at Arkansas State, great young man, great ambassador for the University of Memphis. He's been on social media pushing this women's basketball team hot and heavy. Just to give him a quick shout out, Jake Brewer is doing an amazing job getting any information out about any of the University of Memphis athletics. Will, we're going to jump over to probably one of the hottest teams in the NBA, and I feel like we've been saying that for a while now. The Memphis Grizzlies are the hottest team in the NBA right now. They went 12-4 in the month of December and are just as hot in the month of January. Willie B, I come to you now, man. When you look at this Memphis Grizzlies team, when is Ja going to get his MVP?
Man, I mean, I don't know. You're sitting right now, they're sitting in fourth in the Western Conference, and they're, I believe, last I looked, I think they were five games above their, you know, the person or the team chasing them.
They're closer to three than they are to five, which is just absurd.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah, they're sitting alone in fourth place in the Western Conference. They're 25-14, so they're well above 500 at this point in the season. They're overachieving in every way possible, and that's being shorthanded in most cases. You know, I mean, they played like I went into last night not thinking they were going to beat that Cleveland team, and ended up looking, you know, flipping back and forth between the Tigers and the Grizzlies. They ended up winning that game, and the night before they end up going, you know, to Brooklyn, and they beat KD and James Harden without several of their best players. I mean, De'Anthony Melton's out. Dylan's out, Kyle Anderson's out. So you've got all of these players that are huge role players for your team and make a huge difference. You know, you can't just rely on Ja Morant and Desmond Bane all the time. And you didn't even have Ja Morant for 12 games, but this team just continues to go out and surprise people. And I mean, you know, who knows really what the future holds for them. I mean, if they continue to do what they're doing, they'll really surprise some people, and they'll probably piss a lot of people off, because that's one thing that, you know, if you look at professional sports in general, I mean, if a small market team does something in the NFL, it's a different story. But, you know, you see a small market team in the NBA do something, it doesn't really make as much noise, at least in a positive way, as it would maybe in the NFL. But, man, I love seeing Memphis doing what they're doing, seeing Ja Morant doing what he's doing, Desmond and Bane going out there and surprising people. I would love to see both of those guys make it to an all-star team. I think, you know, see someone like Desmond Bane in the three-point shootout would be fantastic. Put Ja Morant in the, you know, in the dunk competition and put him on first team all-star. I mean, they're overachieving. I mean, that's all you can say about them. They're just, I think every time you turn around, most people are, you know, you go into a road stretch with them where they've got a couple games on the road, and you're like, well, if they split this, or maybe, you know, maybe if they, you know, just kind of hold on and win a couple more games in a five game stretch or whatever, they'll be good. But they just go out and they just keep winning. And it's a lot of fun to watch. I don't think many people expected it. And you got, you know, Taylor Jenkins going out there and getting coach of the month for December. So it's been a lot of fun, man. I love watching it.
Man, I tell you what, I mean, when you go back and look at them, even from last year in the playoffs, even when they hit stretches where they may lose some games, they just continue to fight, continue to learn and play together. And they're only 5.5 games behind Golden State. I mean, and
which is
as we
crazy.
Know in the game of basketball, It's insane. They're only 5.5 games back. And like we've talked about, they don't even have their full team together. They're not even together, full team. It's really, I tell you what, this, I guarantee you, this is a team nobody wants to play in the playoffs. I can promise you that. Nobody, Golden State included, wants to line up against the Memphis Grizzlies, and nor do I blame them at all.
I can tell you firsthand, Brandon, right now. Yes.
Go ahead.
I can tell you firsthand right now, there's not a single team in the NBA that wants to come to FedEx Forum and play a playoff game. Do you know how rowdy it's going to be? It's going like we thought the grind, when it was the grind house and the core four was in there just going at it. You thought that was nuts. This team, don't get me wrong, those teams were good. This team is damn good. Like, they, you can't explain it. We've never seen a Grizzlies team this good. I do believe that. Ja Morant is, I mean, Will kind of alluded to it, or not Will, Wes alluded to it. He asked Will what he thought when he was going to get his MVP. Well, I watched, I believe it was The Jump on ESPN yesterday, and Kendrick Perkins said he has never heard in his whole life of basketball, he's never heard a guy on an away team get MVP chance the way that Ja has over the last four road games. Up until last night, the four games leading up to last night, Ja Morant is the first player in NBA history besides Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan to average 35-6 across the board in those four games, which is just – those are stats that you cannot make up. It's just proven fact right there. And that shows you how good this guy is. Then you have a guy, like Will just said, Desmond Bain, who's just an absolute bucket. He goes out there and he hoops his ass off. In the Grizzlies, more credit needs to be given to Zach Kleiman for building this roster. He's got all these young guys and all these people are like, oh, it'll never work. The Grizzlies shouldn't have even been in the playoffs last year to most people, much less the way that they've started this year. And oh my gosh, this year you're already at 25 wins. You're definitely at this pace going to get to 50 at some point this year. You're nipping on the Jazz's heels for a playoff berth. And right now you're proving it to the NBA. Tomorrow you play the Pistons at home. Then you go on a two-game road trip to L.A. You play at the Clippers, at the Lakers. Then you come home on the 11th. You have the Warriors. Well, so that four-game stretch right there, or three-game stretch right there, is pretty hard. The Pistons aren't, like, terrible, but they're not great. And then after that, you play Minnesota, kind of a – that should be an automatic win for the Grizzlies. No win in the NBA is automatic. But you have – the Mavericks, Bulls, Bucks, Nuggets, and Mavericks again on a run in January. The schedule's getting tough right now, guys. And now you're really going to see how good this Grizzlies team is and can be. And I honestly think that they will be right there with the likes of the Warriors and Suns and Bucks, those teams the rest of this season. They're playing like it, and they're playing their asses off. And like you said, it's without De'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, and Kyle Anderson. They're so shorthanded. We have eight players out last night, and we still went in there, beat the Cavs. Yeah, and the night before, you went into Brooklyn and beat the absolute dog crap out of them. I mean, it makes no sense. So Taylor Jenkins.
I did not see them doing that either game. I mean, it was – I mean, I watched some of that Brooklyn game, and it was just – I mean, I kept flipping over to it, and it's like, how are they leading? You know, how are they leading by this?
They had Kevin Durant. And they have Kevin Durant and James Harden on the floor, and their fans were chanting MVP for Ja Morant.
I know, it's insane, and you're in Brooklyn.
beautiful to see. Beautiful to see.
That shows you. Yeah, I mean, that just shows you. So that kind of gives you an idea of just what social media is capable of, what advertising is capable of, because you've seen some of these ESPN ads that they put out or some of these NBA ads they put out that have Ja Morant in them. And I mean, it's crazy, but he's going to be a generational star. And
when he was drafted, we wanted him to be a star, but he has quickly skyrocketed to superstar status.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. We are The Point. We are presented to you by 4-Star Sports Media. For all of our content, go to 4star.live. All of our articles from all of us here at the team are on there. And also, so are all of our shows. You got this show. You got Pick'em Show. They're all on there. Go to 4star.live to check it out. Guys, we've had a good night tonight talking Tiger football, Tiger basketball, Memphis Grizzlies. Talked a little indoor soccer with the Memphis Americans playing down there in the Landers Center. We talk about every week, guys. The city of Memphis and its sports are hot, 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 just like always. And we are here to cover it, as my grandparents would say, from the rooter to the tutor, from the front to the back. We got you covered all the way here on The Point. But thank you for watching and listening. This is The Point on 4-Star Sports Radio Network. For Will Bass and Brandon Baumgartner, we are out, and go Tigers.